All right, everybody. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the 6 o'clock work session on October 7th. Tonight, it's going to be a great topic we're talking about. This is NeighborWorks' request for funding for the housing project that is going through. I think we'll start off. I didn't catch your name. I'm really sorry.
That's okay. I'm
Kaya. I think we'll start off with you. If you want to give us just a brief light of what's going on, what's gone down, high level stuff. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty of everything just yet, but I think that'll happen. Just set the stage, yeah.
I think this is on due to muted tone.
I think that's fun for
you. Great. Hi, everyone. Like I said, I'm Kaya Peterson. I'm the executive director of NeighborWorks Montana, and my colleague Adam Peschel is here as well. So NeighborWorks Montana is a statewide affordable housing nonprofit organization. We've been around for over 25 years, and we started with a focus on homeownership, so traditional single-family homeownership, supporting down payment assistance and education and counseling. And over that 25 years, the market has changed a lot. The needs of the communities we serve have changed a lot. And so we've really tried to come up with some different ways that people can get into homeownership that maybe aren't that traditional, conventional approach. And this housing cooperative model is one of them. So we have worked with residents of manufactured home parks for about 15 years to help them through a similar approach to purchase their communities and be resident owners. So there's 22 of those communities across the state with over 850 households. And then a couple years ago, we piloted this housing cooperative model for residents of apartment buildings. So we've done two of those in Missoula at this point in partnership with a local community land trust. And we're really excited. We've been looking for ways to expand that approach to other communities in the state. And we learned that the Gibbon Avenue property came for sale. So the 18 units there, and took a look to see if we thought it could be a good fit for this approach. And fortunately, we have access to some financing through the state. And in initial conversations with the residents, they were really interested. So we do have the property under contract. We have a 120-day purchase period, and we run a regular real estate process, due diligence, along with organizing and working with residents to help them form their corporation and prepare them to become owners. So that's where we are today. We're in the process of evaluating the real estate, identifying financing sources to make sure that we have adequate resources for the residents to be able to purchase, while we're also working with residents to help them be prepared to operate as owners. So the ask that we have for all of you is to provide a portion of that financing, and we can talk through the details of that. I think the other, it's a lot of people aren't familiar with housing cooperatives or that kind of ownership approach. So happy to talk through the details of that too. But at a really high level, essentially what happens is the residents form in this case, it's a mutual benefit corporation, and they together purchase the buildings, and the land will be held by HRDC's Community Land Trust. So the Community Land Trust will hold the land, the resident corporation will own the buildings, and then the residents have a board of directors who they elect from their resident members who will help to manage the property day to day. They'll hire a property management company, they'll have an attorney. So just like you would in any real estate, they have access to those sorts of resources. But ultimately, when they make their rent payment, that money is going into the corporation that they are members in, and they get to help manage the property and maintain affordability. That's really the ultimate goal. So our goal with this is to preserve housing for existing residents and preserve affordability long term. And that's what the model is built to accomplish. So I've been doing this work. I've been at NeighborWorks Montana for 13 years, and I started working with manufactured home parks and have been executive director for 5 years. I live in Missoula, but we work statewide, and I personally have a connection to West Yellowstone. I love this community. I'm a big Nordic skier, so spend a lot of time here. And really, part of our role as a statewide organization is to try to make sure that these types of approaches and these types of resources are available anywhere in the state. So that's why we're here tonight, is to see if we can make this work here in West Yellowstone.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to start off with the table up here. You guys have any questions or comments regarding this? We'll just kind of go around and around, and we'll go out to the public if there's anyone in there would like to speak about it.
Jeff, could you move her mic up a little bit so we can hear?
Yes.
Oh, is that
Not
better?
bad.
Great.
Okay.
Perfect. That's great. All right, so I guess Lisa, we'll start with you. If you've got any comments or questions or things you want to talk about regarding this.
Sure. Thanks, Kaya. So the ask of the town is for the town to be a lender. Have other municipalities in Montana become lenders under these programs? Because I guess I'm trying to figure out whether we have the statutory authority to be lenders ourselves.
Yes, so there are other communities who have lent into projects like this through a variety of ways. I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you what we've seen in other places. So the city of Missoula and also Missoula County, both of those entities have lent into resident-owned purchases of manufactured home parks. In some cases, they have lent those dollars to us and we've then lent them to the community. And in others, they've granted or lent to the communities directly. The city of Helena also has a housing trust fund that they established. So they also make loans directly to affordable housing projects. We haven't used this model in Helena or used their funding in that way, but they certainly are acting in that role as a lender for affordable housing.
So, I guess Dan's not here, but
Dan is online.
is Jane's online. I'm wondering, has our town attorney been involved with the process, and if she or somebody familiar with what advice she's given can share with us where our authority lies to be able to be a lender in a situation like this?
So, I'm not aware of any statute that would preclude you from doing that, right? From being a lender. I mean, you have to go through, the process, which we're doing tonight. But like I said, I'm not aware of any statute that would preclude you from doing it.
So have you done some research and formulated that as your opinion on the matter, or
I've not
did
done any research on that question exactly. I have been working with Kaya, in the documents that are going to be necessary to paper this transaction if the council approves it. And so that will all be in order, as far as your security and that type of thing.
How does housing Montana factor in? Because I know that is within our Montana code as a way of providing loans. I mean, are we working with that fund as well for lending for the project, or?
I'm sorry, Lisa. I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Okay. I think Kai knows what I'm talking about.
I think so. So you're talking about Montana Board of Housing or Montana Housing under the Department of Commerce of the state.
In our MCA, there's a reference to, I think, Housing Montana Fund or Montana Housing Fund.
Yes. Yeah. So the new legislation that was passed just this session. Yes, so that fund has been established at the state. Those funds are not available yet. They're still working through the rulemaking process on those dollars. So that's a separate fund, and certainly projects like this could be eligible for that funding in the future, but it's not available yet. There is another source of financing from the state that we are pursuing for this project as the primary source of financing. So about $2 million we're expecting will come through the Montana Board of Investments, which is another entity of the state that manages coal trust funds and other dollars. And they actually, in the last legislative session, set up a loan program specifically to support resident-owned communities and resident purchases like this. So this will be the first time that they've reviewed a request for those funds, but it is a really great program that will provide low-cost, long-term financing. That's part of what makes this project possible.
Do you guys become lenders directly yourselves? Okay, so yeah, so why in this situation would it not be more efficient to have you be the lender on this project? I'm just trying to understand if it's the town's responsibility to be the lender, who's going to administer that? I mean, is our staff trained on knowing how to be a lender?
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. So first of all, just, you know, part of our role, so NeighborWorks Montana is what's called a Community Development Financial Institution, a CDFI. So we have a special designation from the U.S. Treasury that gives us the ability to act as nonprofit lenders. So we have lots of certification and oversight. And typically, the funds that we raise are just a small portion of the financing needed for any project. So we're usually here to fill gaps between what a conventional lender or a program like what I just described to the state and what a project like this really needs to be viable. We're there to help fill that gap. But even our money sometimes is too expensive or not enough to fill those gaps. So it's become very common, especially in projects like this, where we're trying to really maintain a deep level of affordability, that we need to bring in multiple sources of low-cost, flexible, long-term money. And so that's the situation we're in here. So we would have the funds from the state, NeighborWorks Montana. We built the Gallatin Housing Impact Fund, which is funds specifically for lending in Gallatin County. And we raised money from investors at a very low rate that gives us the ability to pass that low rate on. So about $500,000 would be coming from our fund. And then the request we have in front of all of you. And then also the Montana Healthcare Foundation has been approached to provide a portion of financing, as well as a small grant from the local community foundation. So we're really trying to bring together all of these pieces. You know, no one of these entities has all of the capital that's needed. And so part of our role is to piece that all together. Your other question about administering and servicing the loans. So there are a few different ways that that can be structured. Certainly funds from the town could come through NeighborWorks Montana, either directly to us and we lend it out, or through a participation, or with NeighborWorks Montana as the loan servicer. So there are different ways that we could partner to give you support so that your staff isn't, so that you are lending directly to the community and you're not having to manage that directly. I think there's a balance there for you in terms of how much control do you want, how much oversight do you want, and those are all things that be structured depending on what you feel is appropriate given the funds that you have and what you're trying to accomplish. But we have done, you know, when I said the city of Missoula and the county of Missoula have lent into these projects, but they've lent through us, that's the type of arrangement that we've had with them.
So have any other municipalities then in Montana lent directly and themselves service loans?
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Which ones are they?
So in Missoula, and probably the biggest, most prominent example of this is the local Missoula Redevelopment Authority, which is it's connected to city government. They manage the TIF funds in Missoula, and they do almost all of their lending directly. And they're, you know, they have that built into their, that's sort of what they're there to do, is to make loans and to support projects.
Because I did see in our MCA reference to housing authorities, you know, being set up for administering firms like this, but I didn't see any reference to just the general town in and of itself getting involved in the specific
There's definitely many examples. So I guess the other example I would offer is in entitlement communities that are getting HUD and CDBG from the federal government directly. Typically, they are lending directly. So the city of Missoula, the city of Billings, Great Falls, and then now recently Bozeman also became a city. And that entitlement, I mean, they're all able to lend directly, and that's not a factor of the entitlement. The entitlement is just the vehicle for the funding. But their ability to lend, from my understanding, is just they have that ability as a town.
If the town decided to issue these loans and wanted Labor Works to help service them, what would be the fees associated with that?
I can't remember what I proposed to all originally. I think it was.
I don't see any of that information in the packets, and I know I've asked Ben Walker for some other information in the past based on some limited emails he's forwarded and hadn't received any more info.
And some of this is in process, right? That's a conversation about what is reasonable. So typically we're charging about 1%, usually between 1 and 2%. In this case, I think we would be looking at both kind of the lower end of that, just because it's a smaller dollar amount, and our intent is to pass that benefit on to the residents.
Would that be a yearly
Interest on the loan, yes.
fee? Well, thanks. I don't need to dominate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Matthews, could you define a resident?
So in this approach, our goal is to support existing residents, so people who are living in the units and who are on the lease. So that is who is eligible to be a member of the corporation, of
Yeah,
the
currently
cooperative.
you have a couple of businesses on the lease.
Right.
So how do we negate that?
So
And
they're
make
not
sure
able
that it's a
to.
resident who's responsible.
They're not able to be a member of the cooperative. They would continue as renters. So they would have a different landlord. Their landlord now would be the resident corporation.
So in other words, you take your lease payment directly from the resident as opposed to an employer.
It could be structured either way.
Well, what I'd hate to see is that we have basically indentured servants living in these apartments. And we have businesses buy up the apartments, which would be a viable option for a business currently. I would like to see that.
I understand.
And secondly, so that would be something we'd have to set the parameters around.
That's already built into this program. So the apartments won't be sold. The building will be owned by the resident corporation. And as part of that, they're focusing on making sure that people who are living in the units are the ones on the leases and that they're the ones who are participating in the co-op. They could allow up to 25% of the units to just continue to function as rentals. So you could have a business that held the lease. But over time, the goal is really to have people living there who are on the lease and who are participating in the co-op.
And 40-year term, we're to be paid back in 10 years. So, what guarantees the payback?
So this is a very typical structure for us in the community development world. The intent is that we're giving the property a long amortization so that their payments are low, and we're giving them 10 years to stabilize their financials and prepare for a refinance so that they can access more conventional financing. You know, in our world, we're trying to take funds that are public dollars or that we've raised through investors and use those for a relatively short period of time to help projects like this get off the ground and stabilize, with the intent that then they are able to access conventional financing and revolve those public dollars into other projects. So part of our role as a lender in this project, is to continue to work with the residents to help them manage to that goal of the 10-year.
You currently have apartment complexes that you've done this one.
That's right.
So, how many of those residents have remained the entire 10 years?
So we don't have any apartment buildings that we've worked with for 10 years, but we do have manufactured home parks that we've worked with for 10 or 15 years. And I don't have the data on how much turnover there has been. But ultimately, even if there's turnover within the property, the repayment of the loan is really based on the enterprise as a whole. And so we have had communities that have gone through that refinance process successfully.
So inclusive in the rent that you're currently you'd be charging would be some money set aside for this payback or this refinance. It's the
Inclusive in
refinancing contingent upon the occupants. So if we have occupants or tenants don't have real good credit, it's going to affect the refinancing. How does that play into?
Yeah, that so the residents' credit and their personal financial situation doesn't play into the refinance or to the financing at all. Their payment of the rent plays into the refinancing. So the just like any rental property, they have to make sure that the residents who are there are paying their rent. And then the loan then becomes based on the commercial operation and the viability of that of those financials.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions that have been answered.
Dirk? Travis?
Sure. Thanks, Kai. I appreciate it. I got a couple. The one is, if it's appropriate, is it appropriate or would it be at some time to share the whole financing package? I think these are really cool, these creative lending procedures, and just we need to show people if it's appropriate. And I don't know if that's up to the co-op or if that's public, you know, in this case, the town obviously should probably know some of it as a if they decide to be a financing partner. But I just think it's kind of neat to see how that works and how the pieces come together to know and for others to look at. Obviously, you've been through this a lot, so you've been able to pull stuff that most of us would never think of. But if it's possible to at some point share that those details, I think it'd be great because I think it really could set a molder. Something for us in the future, not only for our community, but others. But obviously, this is first in the world to happen. And so I think it's great. You mentioned a little bit like the Montana Board of Investments and some of the others that are there. And I think the other one is the co-op rules. When that's there, can that also be shared with the community and with the town? I think it'd be great to see that and how it's structured. And I know everyone in the future, one of these. Happening, and I could definitely see that they're all going to have some unique details based on the residents and who's there and what they want to accomplish. But I just would love to see some of that. I think this is great. I know there's always questions and it's new to us, but next to the 80 acres, I really think this is the best opportunity we've had to really, as a community, do something toward this workforce housing we've been talking about forever. There is a cost, there's always a risk, there's probably some anxiety trying to figure out. You know, someone's got to pave the way. And I think it's great that this property is able to turn into this. And so I think it's great. I know there's lots of questions, and I think it's great that people have those so we can better understand it as a community. But I think it's cool. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, and absolutely, we can share details. There's always a bit of a dance at this stage because of the real estate contract and
Sure.
protecting that. But certainly, as potential lenders, you know, being able to look at those numbers in more detail is something you can. Sure.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. For the rent, I know the co-op is acting as the co-op, and then the tenants are the renters of that. Is the rent set by AGI, or is it just kind of like if you got a 3-bedroom versus a 1-bedroom? How is that rent set? And I don't know if you can share that yet.
Yeah, of course. So the residents are actively going to be navigating that together through this process. So there are rents that are set now, and some of those rents are, even for a similar unit, may be different from one another. So part of what we work with residents on is coming up with the approach that's that they consider to be fair and equitable of how rents are distributed. So ultimately, when we run our numbers, we're coming up with how much money does the co-op, does the resident entity need to generate every month in order to cover their operating costs and cover all of the loan payments? And then that's the number that residents are working together to say, okay, well, here's how we need to divide that up among the various units. At this point, we're really trying to keep the overall average rent increase to $100. So there will need to be a rent increase to support this acquisition. The rents have been maintained relatively low at this property, which is great to see that kind of naturally occurring affordable housing. But this is typically, you know, when we see a purchase like this, it does require some commitment from the residents to increase their own rent. And then over time, they'll continue to manage that budget annually. And if they need to make rent increases to maintain the property and to maintain their debt payments, they will. But generally what we see is that residents are really great managers of the money and they know what the needs are of the property and they're really motivated to maintain affordability. So typically we don't see rents increase significantly, you know, maybe a little bit because of inflation, but usually residents are able to maintain that affordability over time.
Okay, thank you. And then in general, is the success rate for co-ops like this greater than the failure rates? I mean, kind of speaking on that terms, what does that look like?
Yeah. So in the resident-owned community program, so manufactured housing, which is where we have the most experience, of the 22 communities that we've supported, we've had two that have made it some kind of deferred payment or debt modification, and the other 20 have been functioning very well. So that's a pretty high success rate. And in both of those cases, none of the lenders have lost any money. They've just had to be a little bit more patient. And I think that's pretty typical of the work that we do generally. So we, like in NeighborWorks Montana's portfolio, we manage about a $65 million loan portfolio, which includes payments direct or loans directly to home buyers to help them with down payment assistance, as well as a large portion of those funds are for real estate projects. And we haven't had any defaults in our real estate projects, including resident communities and co-ops. So I think we really attribute that to building good models and setting residents up for success early, and then also providing ongoing technical assistance. So in this case, HRDC, as the community land trust, will be the ongoing technical assistance provider to the residents. And then as a lender, we're also there to help step in, support them with developing budgets, and providing that type of oversight. So we've really seen that combination of appropriate financing and good ongoing technical assistance leads to really great outcomes.
Thank you. All right, before we go out to the public for comments or questions regarding this, and the table, any last thoughts you'd like to share? Lisa, go ahead.
You mentioned there's a 120-day contract. When did that start? So what's the timing?
Yep, so we expect to close around the end of the year or the first of the year, and we're really needing to get financing in place by the first week of November, at least knowing what that financing package is going to look like. So it's a pretty quick timeline.
And following up on Jeff Matthews' questions about the occupancy, you mentioned 25% of the units could be rented to non-co-op members. Is that?
That's right. Yeah, they could be. I think, you know, that's part of what the residents are navigating through this purchase process is what they want that threshold to be.
So could they decide to do short-term rentals?
Technically, they could, but typically in the ground lease with the land trust, that short-term rentals are not allowed. And that would be what we would expect for this property is that these would need to be long-term rentals.
But that hasn't been solidified.
It's we have not finalized the ground lease yet, but that is definitely something that could be a stipulation of yours or others lending.
What's the timing for finalizing the ground lease?
That's a good question. We are starting to work through that now, and it'll need to be finalized in November or early December, so prior to closing. So typically, like when we do financing, we would have a set of contingencies, right, where we would say we must see that, like, the income levels are at least kind of this mix, and we want to make sure that there's no short-term rentals. So we would maybe put those into our commitment letter, and then prior to closing, make sure that those are all fulfilled before we sign off on the papers.
But if not all the lenders have the same conditions. How would that work?
It's fine. I mean, even if one lender has that condition, then that needs to be followed.
All right. Is there anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions regarding this process or anything? Gary, come on up. Yeah.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for your time. I'm Carrie Cohen. I'm the executive director of the West Yellowstone Foundation. And on behalf of the foundation, we just want to voice our strong support for this project. Our board has committed $25,000 from a special donor advised granting fund to this project because we believe that it is a smart, responsible investment that will directly benefit the people who live and work here. I also want to say how impressed I am with NeighborWorks Montana and HRDC's dedication to attainable housing in West Yellowstone. Their work, along with the incredible collaboration among the other funding partners, represents a tremendous opportunity for our community, one that we're very lucky to have. And so I thank you for your thoughtful leadership in considering this proposal.
All right, thank you, Gary. Anyone else in the room or online have any comments or questions? Great, come on up.
Sure. We'll have to take you on.
No, you're
quick question. You answered mine about securing the financing. And the second is, do you own the whole property or is there a partnership?
Do we own the property? Is that the question?
Yes.
So NeighborWorks Montana doesn't take any ownership of the property. HRDC Bozeman will hold the land.
Okay.
And the buildings will be owned by the resident corporation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, is there HOA fees for the residents?
No, everything is built into the cooperative. So there's.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm in the back of the room. I was just kind of wondering, did you say the rents will go up about $100?
On average, yes.
Per, is that
for
a two bedroom and a single?
Yes.
Okay. And then on the voting. On the board, and non-residents, is such as my business, if we came in and rented through, are we on the board? Can we be on the board?
You cannot be on the board, and you cannot be members, no. So
okay.
You don't have a vote.
But you can rent.
You can rent.
Oh, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Greg. Anyone else in the room or online? Yep, come on up.
Yeah, my name is James Madison, and, you know, I'm glad for this opportunity. The places I work appreciate me, and they, you know, are concerned that I have ongoing housing. As, you know, everybody in this community is worried about. But we appreciate your help putting this together. It's giving people security and housing for people like firemen, teachers, and, you know, other people that are needing housing here. And to address your question about people being in apartments and not being residents, that's yet to be resolved, because the board then, when the board members of this incorporation have control of the property, then they can say, you know, people that are renting to their employees but not residents, then, you know, perhaps they would only have a lease that allows them to do that for a year or two. And then the idea would be to only have, you know, long-term residents living in the apartments, and not businesses taking apartments for their employees. So, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. All right.
I kept it warm for you. Hi, Amy Beagle, resident Lakoa.
Okay. Yay!
Yeah. What a grass labor. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you, Adam, so much for your time. Harry, same thing. Dan, same thing, wherever you're at. I appreciate all the work and effort that's gone into this. I think it's more in the back than anybody realizes what's going on in the back. I lived in Jackson Hole for several years, and after I left the park in 1990, and I was on a wait list in 1990 for housing. It's been going on in our communities for so long. It's actually ridiculous that it's taken this long. I think for solutions to come to our communities, it's huge. I see the Big Sky stepping up to the plate. We have Jackson Hole stepping up to the plate. And now here we are. This is an amazing opportunity. I know the POVOS. I approached them years ago about trying to individually purchase our, you know, units and stuff like that, but, you know, didn't get any good response out of that. I approached Brandy, who I know was looking to possibly partner and go in with Rod, and asked if I could help and, you know, we could all do this. So these guys here at NeighborWorks Montana stepped up with a great out. So organized. Can't even explain how organized. Never would have been that organized with me. These guys have it down. They've done this. Look and do your research. Look on the East Coast how successful this has been to other communities that it has been. Very successful. Are you going to have a problem filling these units? No, right? We have a major problem with housing here. We will not be able to afford anything. Housing prices are not going to go down. Real estate prices aren't going to go down. And we can't wait for 80 acres. We can't. Am I excited about that down the road? Am I a possibility to start here and then progress over there? Sure. And that would be a great, you know, outline with NeighborWorks to move over there, right? To help us with that, I think. So great success stories so far in the pudding, I think. And if you look at and do your research and see that it has been successful in other places, and I think it can be here, you know, with the housing shortage that we have, I think it's going to be amazing down the line. Are we dedicated? Everybody's very dedicated. The board members have shown up every week and have proven that they're dedicated. So are we going to make this happen when it's your own? Do you care about it more? Sure you do. You know how excited I am to get through all this crap so I can start doing stuff to the place? Very excited, right? I am. So, and I think that's what we're looking forward to is, like, you know, just making it our own. And being able to do stuff that, bless the Bobos, because they kept the prices low for us and our rents low for us, right? So that we could afford to live somewhere. But it's time to actually be able to do some stuff to our places. And I think we take pride in that. And I'm looking forward to that too. So, but I thank you for your time and consideration. And I thank you. You know, hopefully we can, you know, reach an agreement on the loan. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come up and speak, or anyone online? Yeah, come on up, Susan.
Susan Nesbitt, and I've been in the community my whole life and have gone through problems finding rentals, long-term rentals, and I've been at the Wagon Wheel for 12 years now, and it was devastating to find out that it was up for sale because I thought I might have to leave the community. And then these folks, all this great help came, and then there's a possibility of you guys helping. And I think it's a tremendous step forward for the community to be thinking about doing this and to have the backing of these folks that can help us navigate all this. And then we can create our own community at the apartment complex. We want long-term, year-round people, like teachers, fire people, managers, whoever needs housing, you know, forever. And that's what our goal is as a co-op. So I appreciate your time and thinking about this opportunity for us. It's tremendous.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online? Raise your hand, please. All right. Looks like lady.
I'm not sure I raised my hand so much as clapped. I'm sorry. But I would like to make a comment. And I'm sorry I don't have video here. I'm on a desktop computer rather than a laptop. But my name is Rick Simpkins. I am with HRDC. I was before you a few months ago. I wrote your housing strategy in coordination with the Westdale Zone Housing or Westdale Zone Community Foundation and members of the community. This project is well in line with that strategy, is one of the tools recommended and discussed in those meetings. And I would just recommend that you guys help partner on this project to make it a reality. It's something HRDC supports. It's goes with our ongoing commitment to housing in our service area. We're going to be a part of the project all the way through, holding the land, providing technical assistance to the residents as they navigate a new challenges. I have personally sat as president of HOA boards for 8 years, owners association, so I'm well aware of the challenges that come up with mutual decision making surrounding housing. I'm very well prepared to deal with those challenges. We absolutely intend to have a ban on short-term rentals included in our ground lease. So no need to worry about that. And very, very happy if you guys make it a requirement. That is no difficulty for us. So once again, thank you for the consideration and taking the time to talk about this today. Hope you support it.
All right, thank
Thanks.
you, Rick. All right, anyone else? Yeah, come on up.
I just want to, I'm Maggie Anderson. I just wanted to give my full support to the town council supporting this and using the funds resort tax and its purpose for the local residents. I've lived here, I hate to say it, almost 50 years. It's been an issue from the day I moved here. And these are hardworking, vital community members. And it's a valid support and use of our funds. It is not a high-risk project. The wheel doesn't need to be reinvented. They've got it down. So I just wanted to mention my support.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Is the proposal that this could come from resort tax funds? That the I know we created a housing fund of 500,000 at the last
Yeah, the
meeting,
budget.
but is it being funded through resort tax
It would be through your 3% resort tax, not the 1%.
So is that and is this a permissible use of resort tax? Because when I looked at our website, how it's set out, it wasn't clear that it would be.
So thankfully, with West Yellowstone being the pioneer with resort tax, we left our restrictions off of it for the most part, right? Like we are to follow state law, and state law does allow for resort tax to be used for these types of projects for housing.
So we didn't limit our purpose
Not
of the resort tax 3%.
correct. Our 3% is not limited.
And also, it's nice to hear the West Yellowstone Foundation supported the project financially. I mean, why is it being proposed that we be a lender rather than providing a lump sum of money to support the project? I don't know who came up with this plan for the town.
Dan, do you want me to speak, or would you like to speak on this?
I guess I don't understand the question. I mean, they
Dan,
are
what?
asking us to give a lump sum amount as.
Dan,
Go ahead.
lender, just being a donor, we're being asked to be a loan administrator, servicer, or we need to, subrogate those responsibilities to another. But why would our role be as a lender as compared to what the foundation, I understand, just, donating money's role is?
Yeah, so I can talk just kind of briefly about that. We did have the discussion, and I know that Kaya would be over the moon if it was given as a grant, but our conversations were that our intent was to have a revolving loan program so that the town is, so that when you are getting questions about being fiscally responsible with the money, we can say we are lending the money, we'll be getting the money back, and then we'll be able to fund other projects moving forward. So it is a it's a if the council wants to give that as a grant, it's certainly an option. But Our perspective is that we would use this as a revolving loan to keep seeding future projects.
And then have you considered what the annual cost to be the administrator is in that capacity?
Yeah, so we talked. I mean, I've talked with Katie. I think it's going to be, I mean, a pretty straightforward repayment. So she would collect the money from the co-op and put it back into the fund. And Katie can talk a little bit more about that, but it's not really that complicated because the payment's not going to be that much and the terms are not unwieldy.
And then what happens if there's a default? You know, how are we planning on handling that? And do we have to, you know, get involved with attorneys and foreclosures and all that
Yeah,
kind of stuff?
sure. I think so. Kaya's provided the paperwork to Jane. I know Jane is looking at that, looking at the agreements. Kaya can speak to that a little bit better, about what their process is on defaulting.
Oh, I'm speaking to that. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you said I can speak to that. I was like, oh, sorry. So typically, one of the documents that I've provided to Jane is an intercreditor agreement, which essentially means that our loan and your loan would be tied together. And so in the event of a default, so if the co-op defaulted on your loan, that would trigger a default on our loan and vice versa, so that we would then be in position to manage that default process. So you wouldn't be standing out there alone trying to figure out how to pay off the first and second mortgages and all of that. And that's pretty typical in these structures when you have multiple lenders, that we as the secondary or primary lead on this would be the ones navigating that on behalf of all.
So loans from your organization would be considered primary and ours would be secondary.
So
So
yes.
if there are creditors, primaries get paid first.
That's correct. Yeah. So
So
the
we would
current
be.
structure is that Board of Investments is first, we're second, you are third, and the Healthcare Foundation is fourth. There is the possibility of you doing a participation into our loan as an alternative, which means then you would be essentially in second position with us. But that's a different structure from what we've been discussing. But that is an option.
I think it, from my perspective, it would have been helpful to have more information and have it laid out more so that we can assess all the advantages and risks of doing one form of financial support versus another. This sounds a little bit risky to me, what's been proposed tonight, rather than just giving a grant. I mean, I don't know. I'd like some more information, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I think that if your interest is in revolving the funds, I think this is the best way to do that. If you're, and it's, you know, a grant is wonderful, but if you want the opportunity to revolve the funds, this is sort of the best structure that we can offer.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions on the table? One more time out in the room or online. All right, guys. I'd like to...
Everyone's thumbs up.
Everyone's thumbs up.
Yeah.
See lots of thumbs up in
We love
the
French.
room. All right. Well, thank you again for coming out, everyone. Really helped. Kind of wrap our heads around this a little bit better. And thank you, Kaya and HRDC and NeighborWorks. This is a great opportunity for our community and saving 18 families potentially from having to move out. So, with that, we're going to close the work session. We'll reconvene here in about 10 minutes at 7 o'clock, and we will have our regularly scheduled town council meetings before
Thank
we all
you.
see you guys here.
Thanks.
Thanks for that. Very
All right.
Let's get out of here. Bye bye.
See you.
Thank
you. All right. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the 7 o'clock town council meeting. We got a little delayed there. We're starting a few minutes late. We're going to start tonight's meeting off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone back to the 7 o'clock town council meeting. We had a lively work session about neighbor works, request for funding for the housing project at the Wagon Wheel Apartments. That will be a little later on tonight as for discussion and action item, but we will start first off with public comment. Is there anyone in the room or online that has anything they'd like to say that is not on the agenda tonight? Please step forward or raise your hand on Zoom. Last call for public comment online or in the room. All right, we will close public comment. We will now go to council comments. Travis, let's start with you.
Shockingly, no. Thanks. We're in between the games.
All right.
Thanks.
Brad?
Nope.
Jeff? Nope. Nope. Lisa? And I don't. Actually, I do. 505 Grayling, there is a great Halloween show going on. About every 30 minutes, turn your radios to 103.1. All right, moving on. Treasures and securities report.
Posted in the finance department. Sorry,
maybe giggle. I can put a little plug in there.
Yes.
All right, we have no purchase orders tonight. We got an updated claims list. She sent it out to you guys. Hopefully you all got it. There was two additions, right, Katie?
Yes. So I added, just for everybody in the room too, we had Bridger built, wanting paid on some progress we've made on the police station, office remodel, and then the well house number 3. So your new total claims with everything is $1,261,571.85.
Perfect. All right. With that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve the claims in the amount of $1,261,591.85.
Well, second point. It's been moved in second. Is there any comments or questions from the council? Chats? Frank?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Lisa?
Just one question, Katie. Claim 52851, Sunflower Peak Planning. There's no description under the second item. Is it also 8 acre professional fees?
They worked on some of like the zoning code and that sort of thing. I think it's paid from that. It's from their fees from our zoning code. When they did that for the general town of Westdale zone and not proportional from 88. I'm trying to keep everything from the 88 separate so we know the real cost of that.
So we're still incurring our general zoning code costs?
I think this was the last payment we owed him.
I don't think it was zoning code. I think it's Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, is it Sleepy Hollow?
Yeah, it's the Sleepy Hollow development. So it's not zoning code.
What's Sleepy Hollow development?
It'll be on the agenda on November 4th, but it's a variance application for parking and setback reductions on the rebuild at the Sleepy Hollow Hotel. Electric.
Do we normally incur, I mean, that's $1,000.92. Do we normally incur expenses like that on behalf of private owners of their property?
Yes, and then we rebuild them for the expenses.
We do rebuild them? Okay. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions or comments. Anyone in the room or online have any questions or comments regarding the claims? Quiet crowd today. Final call for comments on the claims. All right, bring it back to the table.
Off the question.
All those in questions been called for. All those in favor of approving the claim amount of $1,261,571.85, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It passes. We have no business license applications. We do have our meeting minutes from the previous meeting on September 16th. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make the motion to approve the meeting minutes from our September 16th town council meeting and planning board public hearing.
I'll second that.
Okay, so moving to, is there any comments or corrections we need to make note of? Lisa?
Action 3. Business license application. I'm pretty sure I voted against that because we haven't been getting them in the form that our statute requires, but that's not noted in the minutes.
Okay. Anything else?
That's my comment, and as usual, I won't be voting to approve the minutes because things like this don't necessarily get put into the minute, so I don't feel it's an accurate reflection of what happened. So, my comment.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff? Brian?
No.
Guys? I don't either. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or corrections regarding the meeting minutes? Final call for public comment. Bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Which has been called for. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes from September 16th, 2025, with the correction that Lisa voted no on, is it action item 5?
Well, that wasn't part of the motion, though.
Oh,
that's
just a correction.
Just a correction. Okay. Well, to approve the meeting minutes then September 16th, 2025, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Passes. Dan, let's turn over the time to you and the staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening from Helena. I had a little snafu with the power outages on Saturday, so I lost my remote access and my report, so it'll be brief tonight. I just encourage everyone to the housing survey, the employee and the employer survey is in the packet. I think Katie also sent those out, so we're just encouraging everybody to fill out those surveys to help formulate some affordability as part of the NERMAD survey. So I encourage everybody to do that. Staff will be at the League of Cities and Towns Conference in Billings next week, so it'll be pretty quiet at Town Hall, and it'll be safe to say I'll be pretty dang sick of conference food by Friday. So thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone have any questions for Dan or the staff? Guys?
No.
Right?
No.
Lisa?
No.
Jeff?
No. Skip, see?
Jeff is interesting.
That was pretty off.
And I don't. Are there anyone in the room have anything on this? Questions for Dan? All right. We hope so. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, staff. Appreciate that. Do we have any advisory board reports this evening? Brian, you usually shake your head.
Arts and Rec is meeting tomorrow at 5:30.
Perfect.
Well, yes.
Jeff? No, we'll meet Thursday. Right, but. Okay, Lisa?
Healthcare Services Advisory Board's meeting Thursday, October 16th at noon. Town Hall.
Okay. That's
Thursday's big day. Matt will be meeting at noon at Poha Center.
All right. And there's no Housing Coalition meeting until next.
I should be. Maybe that's
one. That's
noon. Okay. All right. I won't be late.
All right. So nothing to report on, just meetings coming up. Next time I'll have reports on that.
Yes.
All right. We will go on to new business. This was a work session item that we had earlier tonight. It's the Neighbor Works request for funding for the housing project. Katie, you want to go over just a little bit on kind of what's being asked upon us, and then we can make a motion on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as discussed, we are looking at being a lender and helping the funding package for the 18-unit Given Avenue project. We the town is being asked to put forth $275,000 from our housing fund. We would be setting these terms as a 2% interest rate, 40-year amortization with a 10-year balloon to make sure that this remains affordable for the residents of the Given Avenue project. With that funding does come from our 3% resort tax, which is within statute that we are allowed to use that funding for. And I guess I'm happy to answer any other questions, but I'll just leave it at that unless you want me to go into more detail.
No, I think that's okay. We got a lot of the questions answered, I feel like, earlier tonight. All right. So with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I move we make. I move we commit $275,000 from our housing fund for the 18-unit Given Avenue project to be loaned at 2%, a 40-year amortization with a 10-year balloon payment.
I'll second that.
All right. It has been moved and seconded. Now it's time for discussion regarding this. Start with Travis.
Oh, thank you.
No, all right. Brian?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Lisa?
Well, I noticed the motion didn't have any restrictions on short-term rentals.
It's not up to us. Well, I don't. I personally feel that's up to the board, not up to the commission.
So, I guess if the town is lending money for a project that will have 25% short-term rentals, that's not what I would think the community would want.
Well, if they only have 5 people living there and they have to do something to make money to pay it back, they would.
I guess I'm not following, but...
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Yes, I'm sorry that I couldn't find the hand raise, but I think Rick from HRDC was clear that that would be part of their ground lease. So if Rick wants to reemphasize that point, I think he's still on and I think he can do so.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm not stepping on NeighborWorks' toes here, but we certainly don't have any ground leases that allow for short-term rentals right now at HRDC. And any ask to do one would take some pretty serious internal discussion. I don't think there's a large risk here of any short-term rentals. It's really about providing long-term stable community housing.
Okay. It seems like we need a little bit more information and concrete data. I mean, I understand the intent would not be to allow short-term rentals, but until the docs are signed, we don't know for sure what we would be committing money to. I don't know. I guess that's my comment. I'm a little bit uneasy with the structure and all of the moving parts. I'd like to see more information and more stuff finalized before the town finalizes what terms and commitment we want to make and how we want to make that commitment, whether it's a grant or a loan in coordination with NeighborWorks so that we're the same priority creditor level. I guess I'm not sure why the town being in the position of being a direct lender is in our community's best interest versus some of the other mechanisms. I don't, does the West Yellowstone Foundation have the ability to lend money as well? Does anybody know?
We're giving them 25 grand.
Do they have the ability to lend?
I don't know the comparison though either, because we're a municipality and they're a nonprofit. I don't know their rules. I'm sure that's built into their bylaws, but
and I, you know, speaking of that too, I still would like a legal opinion from our town attorney, maybe, you know, something in writing, because my preliminary research, I'm not, you know, a municipality attorney, but my preliminary research led me to believe that we as a town directly didn't have the authority to do this, but, you know, we could help through other organizations. I guess, you know, I
don't can I respond?
That we've been given tonight,
yeah.
And in the packet.
So I sent out an email between the work session and the meeting, setting out the statutes that allow for the town. I mean, the town is a self-governing unit, and as a self-governing unit, they have the authority. You have the authority to do anything that you want that's not in violation of the Constitution, the law, or the charter. There's nothing in our charter that would prevent you from being a lender or loaning money to a project like this. I'm not aware of anything in the Constitution. And I can't imagine that all of the other towns that have and cities that have participated in this project and have acted as lenders would do so in violation of the law.
Was that research you did just tonight, or is this stuff that you've done previously?
I looked up the self-governing statutes to answer your question, Lisa.
Okay, because when I look at the charter, the preamble of the charter says, we, the citizens of West Yellowstone, for the purpose of establishing a just form of fundamental law, one that is responsible to the public for providing equal and adequate services and protections with efficient use of the community's revenue for all, mm-hmm. One that provides for self-governing powers with respect to the health, safety, and welfare of every citizen, and one that utilizes the utmost flexibility to plan for the future, do establish this charter for the town of West Yellowstone, the state of Montana. So I have a question of whether we can selectively offer a loan like this to, you know, an 18-unit apartment building. Is that consistent with the purpose of our charter as set forth in the preamble even?
We've already set precedence doing this. We currently have an evolving loan from management plan. I think we've given that $80,000 that we had in there.
What's a management plan you're talking about?
It's a revolving loan fund.
For what purpose does it
have? If someone wants to do improvements on a business in town, there's, I mean, there's a number of criteria that they have to comply with, but we vote to give them money.
There is something in the MCA that does talk about municipalities lending money for improving private residential housing, you know, giving authority for that. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't heard about what you're talking about.
I think, aren't you on the board, Travis? Isn't that involving loan fund? Didn't you give out $80,000?
Yeah, we did it
to a group
under Rock Mountain.
Yeah.
Economic development, we rolled it up there so they could use it on a larger pool. The town had managed it for many years.
Well, and we have some funding here.
Yeah, we do.
Because we have a current loan out to Blue Crop and Blue Service.
Clear Blue.
The drain, Montana Drains.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he made his payment today. Like, we have a revolving loan fund that's administered by the town.
How do people find out information about that current revolving loan fund? I mean, is it on our town website, or this is all news to me?
I was sent out with business licenses just in May. Again, I try to do it every year so people aren't aware. I don't know what the new website, if it's on there or not. But
I'm sure like there's something under Lord's
I do too, but I don't want to speak to that. So.
I don't think there's much in it right now that we can even lend out because we already have an active loan. Like, it's been lent to the Grizzly Discovery Center. It's been lent to, it was lent to Little Geysers when they were open. I mean, it's money that's paid out for, or lent out for various reasons, community development, affordable housing. There's like several different criteria. So when it's paid back, we can lend it out again.
So we have precedents already set for something similar.
Oh, yes, we have guidelines and everything that are already set.
Perfect.
But yeah, I don't, this is the first I've heard about it. And I think if we already have a lending program set up, we should know the details, how people access it, what amount of money is there, what
is available.
Let's talk more about the topic at hand, which is the neighborhood. NeighborWorks request for funding, not some other entity that we just
never. The point being with the set it's something that we can.
It's in the budget.
Hold on. We're getting way off track here. We're going to circle back. So I don't want to get into the weeds and details about some other funding project that we have. There's precedence that has been set. We learned that.
Well, we can't say precedent has been set unless we hear details about what that precedent is. I'm not going to just say, oh, precedent's been set, and then be like, oh, okay. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay. Do you have any other questions about the NeighborWorks request for funding?
I don't know. This, it seems like there's a lot of information to be learned, and this is a big project, and I think the town should support it. I'm just not sure what form I feel comfortable with based on the information that I have. So, you know, I'd like more information, but I've asked for more information several times from Dan Walker and have not been provided the information I've asked for on the project, and I'm assuming I probably won't get the information I would like that I'm expressing tonight. So,
all right. Any other questions?
No.
All right. For me, I think this is a great opportunity for our community. I think the success rate that NeighborWorks pointed out earlier tonight speaks to itself. I think it's a very low risk on our part. $275,000 in the big scheme of things isn't the end of the world. And I think it's going to the right people on the right things. We got to pick a battle to start with this housing crisis. And I think this is the right one for our community. That's my comments. Anyone in the room or online have any comments about this? Jan, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Just for Lisa's information, this is on your website under advisory committees, the revolving loan advisory committee.
So are you talking about revolving, the other revolving fund?
Yeah, just pass on the info.
Perfect. Thank you, Jan. Anyone else have any comments or questions regarding this?
Jeff.
Great.
Come on up on the board.
Please.
You bet. Kaya, got a hold of me after the intermission on the meetings. And she answered one question, but a couple of questions I had. But I got a question for you. Is the residents in there, even if they're employee-owned, do they all get first choice, or is the employer that has three or four units, do they get to stay, or do they have to leave, or whatever?
Okay, respond to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the current residents are the focus of the project. So Adam is working with them to make sure that whoever's living there has the opportunity to stay and have a lease in the property.
So if there's an individual that wants to come in and not employee of three or four of an employer, there is no choice that they get to stay.
They can, that's part of what the residents are working through. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I have talked to quite a few business owners and stuff, and I haven't found anybody that's not for this project. And I think that's great. From what I know, the council is the top of the decision making. Everybody else is below that. The problem or the question that I have is, the contract was presented on July 31st, or in the last week of July, to the owner. And at that time, there was a lot of rumors that went around that the city had promised $500,000 to whoever was buying this. And it was pretty, I think, a sure thing that those rumors went around. And I think a lot of us have the opinion that this was all preset with what was going to happen, but nobody had the information to the council. And so when the budget time came up, there was $500,000 allocated to this before the council even got it. They got it on the they're requesting $275,000. That's great. Where's the other $225,000 going? And I'm going to guess, and this is just my guess, that HRDC is going to come in and ask for $225,000 of the total $500,000. Protocol. I mean, it's not very good protocol for the council not to be presented with what's going on before the final budget. And that's what we all are a little bit concerned is, why was this not given to the council before the final budget? And I think, like I said before, you're at the top of the totem pole. You should have known this. And that's what all I want to say. I'm still in favor of the project.
All right, yeah, come on up.
I just want to thank you for the time that you've put into evaluating this. I think part of the reason that we felt really confident coming and working with the residents is that you all have done a lot of legwork in your community over the last handful of years to evaluate your housing needs, to work with the foundation, to work with HRDC, to establish some shared language and some shared goals. And so I just really want to commend you for that work. And I'm really excited to help move this project forward. So thank you.
Perfect. Is there anyone else in the room or online have any comments or questions regarding this? Final call for public comments. Okay, we'll bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Where's my call for all those in favor of, can I read whatever you read so I can get that right?
I'm going to abstain.
Yeah,
you have
no financial interest.
Okay.
I can abstain if I want.
All right, let's not get into arguments.
Before I make a vote on it.
Okay, so we are all in favor of moving to commit $275,000 from our housing fund for the 18-unit Gibbon Avenue project to be loaned at a 2% 40-year amortization with a 10-year balloon payment. What is the, or all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. And Lisa abstains. All right, it passes. Good luck to the Wagon Wheel people. I hope that the future is bright for you guys and so start saving housing in our town.
Yeah.
Oh, you need that. All right. Next, we have on our agenda the archives room request for the Yellowstone Historic Center. Trent, you want to come up and give us just a quick description of what this is about?
Yes. I want to thank the council for having me here and tell you a little bit about what we are hoping to do. Is background is, of course, that our archives and collections have been in the vault of the library at the beginning of the orientation. And that is a kind of prime space, you know, that the town and the library would like to use. And it is not very accommodating for research purposes, where we've had requests for people that want to use our archives, use our collections. So one of the things that I've been doing since I came on to the Yellowstone Historic Center's executive director is trying to find a solution in this. And what we are proposing is that we turn one of the storage space areas in the Union Pacific Dining Lodge into our new archive space. And there is a storage space that we're using now. It is surrounded by hallways on two sides, the kitchen on one side, and then another storage space on the other side. It's a room that has been altered from the historic blueprints. We don't know exactly when that happened, but probably when the town, the library, the courts, and everything were in that building. And so, in the packet, I did say this, include a letter for the council and the proposal of work. The plan would be that we would hire someone, and we do have someone lined up to add fireproofing to that room. That was a concern when moving it from the vault, which of course is a very secure location, as far as protecting the materials, to this new location. We want to make sure that those archive materials and the collection materials are protected. So we would hire someone to add additional sheetrock for fireproofing in that room.
get a room that's already been altered from the original. And then the plan would be in the springtime that we would move the materials from the library to this new space that had been improved for that purpose. This is a town building, of course, that we're looking at altering, but we think definitely improving with that additional fireproofing, a space that we're already using. So in the process, the town or library would gain an additional storage area and they wouldn't lose any. And it's something that the organization would pay for. We would pay for all costs for improving that space and all the costs involved in moving everything from the current archive space to the new archive space. So I'm here at the council seeking permission from the town to make those alterations to the town building. And happy to take any questions.
Okay, we'll save those for just a second here. And part of the reason he has to come and present is part of the contract that he has to seek town council approval for something like this. So that's why it's brought to us in the council instead of just being done internally at the town. So with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make the motion we approve the archives room request for the Yellowstone Historic Center.
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions regarding this? Lisa?
No. Thanks for your presentation.
Okay. Jeff?
Who's absorbing the cost for this?
The Yellowstone Historic Center, so we pay all the costs. Yeah, we're very fortunate. We've had a lot of support for the archives project, and we did the funds to make this move.
Okay,
Brian? Oh, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Travis?
No, thanks for doing the legwork and getting the CHPO letter. Yeah. Seems like that's the hardest part sometimes.
Yeah. So. No, there's a lot of correspondence back and forth with the City Historical Preservation Office, but we got it approved, yeah.
All right. Good, thanks.
And I don't have any, thank you, good work on this. I think it's going to be useful for you guys and useful for the library.
One question from Public Works on this. The engineers look at this, but I mean, have you talked to any of the town engineers on this project at all? It might be something that we might want to just maybe look at with our engineers, just have a quick look at this, just to make sure that you are looking at this as an engineering point of view before you start sheetrocking everything up on this. I just think something we just need to pay attention to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'd have to
make those arrangements. TDNH engineering.
Sure.
Just, I think it's just a wise decision.
Oh, yeah.
And just to, you know, not to make this a big scope, but something they just need to take a quick look at.
Okay, yeah. So I... absolutely happy to do that and make arrangements to you to have that done.
Great.
Absolutely. Yeah, great to have a good set of expert professional eyes on it.
Okay, cool. All right. Go ahead.
So I'll make a secondary motion to modify the motion on the table to require that Yellowstone Historic Center consult with our town engineer on the project before they start.
Get approval. Good. That's enough. All right. Any other comments on that secondary motion? Good. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions? Final call for public comment. No hands up. All right. Bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Question to call for all those in favor of approving the archives room request with the requirement that they meet with our town engineer. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. All right. Thank you, Trent.
All right.
Good luck with that.
All right. Yeah. I'll be sure to update the council and the town staff on everything that we're doing and how it goes. Okay. Thank you.
Be careful. They'll get us back to truck in there somehow.
It's always my goal.
All right, we're having a good night.
Thanks. All right, next we have an application to maintain encroachment for a temporary construction storage on Block 12 of Jerry's Enterprise at the One Horse Motel rebuild. I believe this is, they're just asking to put some trusses
make sure I'm aware.
Store some trusses that are out in the kind of snow yard area. It's pretty straightforward. Is there an end date on this? Is
anything November 30th?
Okay. So with that, what is the pleasure of the council?
We'll make the motion. We approve the encroachment for temporary construction storage and walk bill for Jerry Dinner Hours at the One Horse Hotel with a sunset of December 1st.
December 1st or November?
I want to say the 3rd.
I'll second that.
All right. Any comments or questions regarding this, Travis?
No. Thanks for doing an encroachment permit. Better late than ever.
Right.
I talked to person, I don't know the other guy's name, and they both felt that there was enough room, and especially with the sunset of that date. So
perfect.
The neighbors are okay with it.
Okay. Jeff? Lisa?
Brian, are you involved in the construction?
No.
Okay. One of your comments made it seem like you were. But I don't have any questions or comments on that. Also, thank you.
I do.
Brian, anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions regarding this encroachment permit? Final call for public comments. Bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Question of the call point. All those in favor of approving the encroachment permit for Block 12 of Jerry's Enterprises One Horse Motel with a sunset date of December 1st, 2025, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Passes. All right. Next one is another application to maintain encroachment. This is for a temporary snowmobile assembly crates on Block 16 of Jerry's Enterprises Yellowstone Adventures. This is in the back, they have a snowmobiles back there. What pretty straightforward on this as well. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'd make a motion to approve the encroachment permit for temporary snowmobile assembly crates on Block 16 for Jerry's Enterprise Yellowstone Adventures with a sunset of December 1st.
I'll second that.
Okay, in second. Is there any comments or questions regarding this encroachment permit? Yes.
No.
Brian?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Lisa? And I don't either. Anyone in the room or online have any comments or questions? Last call for public comments. All right, bring it back to the table.
Call for question.
Question to call for. All those in favor of approving the encroachment permit for the temporary snowmobile assembly crates on Block 16 of Jerry's Enterprises, the Yellowstone Adventures with a sunset date of December 1st, 2025, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes. All right. We are at the end of the meeting. Liz, meeting reminders, FYIs, anything like that?
As Dan mentioned, there will be some of us attending the Montana League of Cities and Towns Conference in Billings next week. I never heard from any council members, so you are not registered. moving forward, our second council meeting in October will be the 21st, and we are planning on November 4th and 18th in November. We have scheduled a public hearing before the study commission on October 21st. That'll be at 6 o'clock prior to the town council meeting. And then on November 4th, we're anticipating a public hearing on the variance applications for Sleepy Hollow Motel. So like I said, the second meeting in October is scheduled currently for the 18th. And then unless anyone has any other comments, we'll stick to first and third in December, which will be the 2nd and the 16th. Also, going back to November, the 4th is Election Day, as I think most everybody knows. Ballots will be mailed on October 17th. It is a mail-only ballot. We will have a drop box here at the Town Hall. So I think we all know that mail to Bozeman can be very slow. So if anyone you're talking to is going to mail their ballot, I would tell them they need to allow at least a week. Ballots must be received on election day, not postmarked. So if it's less than a week out, they really should bring them here to the town hall, or there are other drop boxes in Gallatin County. The ballots can be dropped off. But we'll have a ballot box here through election season, during regular business hours. And then on election day, which is November 4th, and a town council meeting day, we have to be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So we'll have that ballot box with us here at the meeting. And then the county sends someone down. Sometimes it's a deputy sheriff, sometimes it's election staff, but they come down and pick it up that night and drive it back. That's what's coming.
I'm sorry, Liz. When was the Sleepy Hollow?
The public hearing will be also on the 4th. Because there's a 15-day notice requirement in the newspaper. And since the Chronicle doesn't publish on Sundays or Mondays and requires 48 hours notice, it gets really complicated. So we had to push it out to the 4th to get it noticed properly.
Perfect. I will not be there on December 2nd. I will be in Key West, Florida.
Thank you.
Just making
Does anyone else have plans to be gone for the end of the year?
I would.
Not yet.
Me too.
All right. Any other? Oh, Jan, go ahead.
I hope you'll indulge me. My internet went out and I missed the final vote on the Neighbor Works plan. How did that go?
Four counselors voted for it, one abstained.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, any other meeting reminders coming up, guys? We talked about all the ones coming this week on Thursday. I think that's it.
The Healthcare Services Advisory Board is not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Okay. Right, is Wednesday.
Well, I don't get this.
I make one final plug for this.
Yeah.
Within the first 48 hours of this going out, we had more responses than they've ever seen. So kudos to our town for caring about housing. And kudos to you for tonight's vote. Thank you so much from community members. But as you are closing up shops that are seasonal or taking a break before you reopen for winter, please take one of these. I'm plastering them across town, putting sticky notes on them of take me, and I'm just going back through town and plastering. So please take this. Make sure your employees do it. Do it as employers. Super important for us to get this information and really see the needs of this community and their feedback.
Perfect. All right. Without objection, then, we will adjourn. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. I'll see you next time.